Correct. I did not ever intend on leaving, really.
Right.
Like, my intention was to be in that company and be good at that company. And
because you were devoted, you know, to it.
I was. I grew up there. It was my, you know, I mean, previous to that, I mean, I've only ever had one job in my life.
Welcome to Life's a Story, where real life meets the mic. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm joined by some amazing individuals for some candid conversations about the moments in life that shape us.
This is Andy. Whether it's navigating relationships, sharing personal triumphs, or dissecting the latest news, we're here to explore it all. Get ready for genuine, thought-provoking discussions.
Hey, it's Stephanie. We believe every story deserves a spotlight, and we're not holding anything back. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and join us as we peel back the layers of real-life experiences, one conversation at a time.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dina. Let's dive into authentic, unfiltered stories that make life interesting.
I'm excited about what we have in store for you today, so let's go ahead and kick things off and get started.
All right. Welcome back to Life's a Story podcast. I'm your host, Greg Steinke. Along with me is my wife, Dina, Andy, and Stephanie.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. Where real life
meets the mic.
Ah.
I snuck it in.
He beat you to it. He beat you to it.
He said he wasn't going to do it.
He just fooled you.
He did. He's quick.
So with us today, tonight, is my littlest brother, Brad. And he is about 10 years younger.
Exactly. Definitely 10 years younger.
Close to it. Yeah. And so he's with us tonight. And his wife, Jessie, is with us. And she is on the sideline. On the sideline.
She's off mic.
She's not taking a mic, but she's taking the earphones just so she can listen and make sure he does okay, I guess.
Keep right. him in line a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to buzz me if I do something. Normal operation. Right? That's
the normal married life.
As usual.
Right. Yeah. Nothing new.
But we're going to talk about his business and why he started that all up and really what spurred that. And where he's at now, and I think you have two businesses, matter of fact.
And, well, and this is kind of a lead into a series, I think, that we're working on regarding people behind their businesses. So
yep.
If you wanted to...
So what we're doing is we're going to start some episodes, a series of episodes about people behind their business. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to another individual, I think later on this month, that owns a cake shop here in Troy, a bakery in Troy. And then we're also going to talk to one of the well-known barbers, Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And Corey is going to come with us and kind of share a little bit about his background. And so we're trying to reach out, and we got other ones that are in store and coming up.
A financial advisor.
Everybody needs a financial
yeah.
advisor.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That'll put us all to shame, probably.
Yeah.
But take notes.
Dave
Ramsey?
Ramsey, is he coming?
No.
Oh, he
not yeah, quite.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah, he was busy.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
That's all right. So, had a scare last night. We were all dealt with tornadoes, and we were in our basement.
Yeah, it was a little scary last night.
It was, but we all survived.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
thankfully.
I'd say we were all good. I know we had one of our physician assistants at work. She was pretty close call, lives right in the area where there was most devastation. So she fortunately was not affected.
That's good.
You know, her house personally, but she has a lot of neighbors. They're still out searching for people trapped in buildings and houses and
really
things like that. So... yeah, definitely praying for all those that were greatly affected.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that my other brother, Jeff, went to one of the sites last night in Auglaize County, and we're just about a mile
about a mile north of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Where hit that campground. And so no one apparently was there at the time.
I believe there were some people there. They didn't get killed,
yeah. Okay,
so that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I believe there was some.
That's the second time. I mean, there was a flood there.
There was a flood there a couple, 3 years ago that took out some stuff, and it's a bad place for a campground, I think.
It seems to be.
You know?
Seems to be, But now, Andy, I'm gonna have you. Oh, I see. I'm barring up there, right? You can see my bars on that camera.
Oh yeah, they're going.
We're videotaping this, and I just want to make sure I got the sound going there. Andy's waving to all of our
fans.
Wave
to your
fans. How many are there?
Two.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
It's a start.
We need those subscribers to our YouTube channel. Yes.
And subscribe.
Yes, and to follow us. I don't know why, but still follow us.
Now, has anyone ever here seen a real tornado in person?
Kind of last night.
Yeah, Brad did.
Was that your first one?
Yeah,
fortunately,
that you've
seen? Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was a mile away, but it was it was weird.
It's still probably scary. That's pretty close.
Yeah, he's got a video of it.
Yeah. Wow. Showed it up to the camera. I might give us a couple more views.
Yeah, not as good as Chad's video. His was the actual tornado. Mine was a mile away, and it was a big giant.
Wow.
Swirling black, it was scary.
Yeah, that's crazy. Is that the one? I think Elizabeth shared that on Facebook, maybe of Chad's video.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw he shared
that. Yeah, that was close.
Yeah.
So we're not related to him.
No. No, he's one of the other Snuggies.
He's on the other side of the woods.
Sorry, Chad.
There's more.
If you're watching or listening.
Well, sure he's going to be our third subscriber.
We just name drop him a couple of times. He'll be in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's about, you know.
Andy's always wanted a storm chase, though. Quickly,
yes.
We'll get on to our topic.
Okay, so you talk about that. So, like, I'm watching the storm, and it's like a mile due north of me, and down the road comes a Jeep Cherokee with his lights on, and four or five other people with their flashes on and everything. So, like, they had to be storm chasers.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
probably
was crazy.
So.
Like, they're flying down
the
road.
That scares me to death, though.
Didn't it have, like, an armored car or anything?
No, he looked legit. The Jeep Cherokee looked legit. Like, it looked like
he knew what he was doing.
Truck.
For sure.
He looked like from the movie Twisters.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
You'll put those little balls in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it kind of made us, like, should we be watching this?
That intensifies it.
It was weird. It was, you know, we get storms all the time when they're in Ohio, but, like, it was the eeriest feeling I've ever had.
It gives you respect.
100%.
Now, I was probably, maybe like two football fields away from a tornado once. At Cedar Point, it was a water spout at first. That's when we saw it. And my youngest brother, I was probably nine, so he was probably seven, six. He thought it was a ride. And the park was open. No one had flipped out. And they just made an announcement. I can remember to this day, like, there's heavy storms coming in. Nothing to worry. We'll keep an eye on. And I can remember this. Everyone froze. It looked like a movie scene. And then everyone took off running. We ended up in Cedar Point, at least then, where the games are at. There's like concrete walkways you can go in there. And we were in there for 2-3 hours. You'd come back out. Then I'd say after like 2 hours, we came back out. And there ended up being another one.
Really?
And this one was bigger, but I can remember seeing someone's private plane in a silo, I don't even know where it took off, thanks to the storm, into a silo.
Oh, wow.
And
that would be crazy.
Yeah, but really, at the end, there was probably 100 people left at the park. So
you had the whole park for yourself?
Yeah. We did.
You have to wait
to stick it out. Yeah.
Thanks, Mom
and
Dad.
Don't forget your souvenir on the way out.
Your parents are like, we paid $20 for these tickets.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere.
That's right.
That's fun.
Yeah, well, Brad, you have two businesses. One is Stein Services, and the other one is Stein Engine?
Yes, Stein Engine Services.
Stein Engine Services.
Yes. Yeah,
and that just developed 3 years ago.
Five now.
Has it been that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Way to keep up.
Right. Yeah.
But you know,
right?
So that's what brothers do.
Yeah. It's been five years for sure. Maybe this is our sixth year. Five going.
Goes quick.
I was going to say shortly after we moved here in 2018.
Right.
You started that, or maybe it was already kind of in the works.
No, it was a year. It was.
It was a year that we came in 18.
No, it was a year after.
Year 19.
Yeah, because you worked for me a little bit.
Yep.
In 18.
And I went over there and got a few things before you bought them out.
Yeah.
What kind of business is this?
Why don't we go back a little bit?
There you go.
Okay.
So you went to college for diesel mechanic.
for agricultural mechanics.
Agricultural.
Yeah, there's
mechanics.
A difference.
Okay.
Whether that's good or not, there is a difference, yes.
And you graduated with that, and then you went right into?
I graduated with honors, actually.
Wow.
There's a teacher out there who's describing it.
Thank you, Randy.
Number four.
So I actually worked at a dealership when I was 17, when I was a senior in high school. And then I went to college while I was working there, and worked my way through college and worked at dealership and
to be. This just like a regular car dealership?
No, or like just tractors.
Tractors, okay.
Yeah, agriculture.
Okay.
Equipment. Yeah.
Okay.
A John Deere dealership.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you worked there for quite a while.
12 years.
And got a lot of good reviews. You got a lot of clients that
100%. I spent 12 years learning. You know, it's I ain't gonna say it's a tough trade. I mean, but you learn there's a big variety of stuff you work on. So if you want to be very good at it, it takes a while. Mm. So 12 years seems to be a good number.
But things constantly change, though, too.
100%. Yeah. So like when I was in college in 96 to 98, GPS came out and I taught farmers how to drive the tractor, like to get their tractors to drive themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like that was a huge thing. That was this amazing thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I taught guys. It was a really, really neat avenue in my job, because I come out of college and most of the mechanics are older. And so there was this new technology coming out that I was already absorbing as a young man. So I latched on, and that was part of my responsibility. So I got to teach farmers that had started farming with horses.
Oh, wow.
How to use tractors that drove themselves.
Yeah.
And it was neat. I mean, it was such a... It was.
Did they pick up on it pretty good?
I was going to say, did they embrace that?
Some of them that were always pushing the envelope, you know, so like a guy that... And I'll never forget, there's one guy, and he's way up by Waynesfield, really, really, really good guy. He's passed away because he was old when I was young. But he told me, a little short guy, like his dad died when he was 9. And like he'd been farming, like he didn't finish high school. He'd been farming, and now they were farming a few thousand acres. Wow. And I'll never forget, like he's sitting in his tractor, and he was a short little guy. So he always had a block of wood underneath his feet because he couldn't reach the floor, you know. But like he started farming with horses, and I got the opportunity to teach him how to run this tractor, and farm in precision lines, and let it run itself. And it was amazing. It was fun. It was a blast. I mean,
so some of these you could install in existing tractors.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Some of
now
them
they new. Probably come with them.
Some of them. Yeah. Still. Yes. Yes. You can still do it both ways. I can still put one in a 60-year-old tractor if you want me to.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. It don't make any sense to do it, but you know, but it's doable. You know?
Wow.
But like it. But that part of that, like that, was so exciting to just be part of that. Like he told me.
That's a new era.
Oh, he told me he remembers the first plane when it flew over his house. Wow. You know, you got to remember this guy was born in the 1920s.
Yeah.
You know, and just the stuff that he'd seen. And he went from farming with horses to having a tractor that drove itself down the field.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. Like that generation, like what? I'm like, all right, my generation sucks. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have internet. Right. You know what I mean? Like this guy's seen so much in his life.
Right. Right. Our advancements outside of AI now are incremental advancements, you know, new app here, new program here. It's just built on what's already there, but nothing's really been this major transformation.
They perfected
technology.
Like everything has been perfected years ago as far as mechanical wise. Now it's just easy use.
True.
I mean, the car was, a 1989 Honda Civic will run for.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Right.
Now, like, a new Honda Civic is just nice to drive.
Right.
You know? Looks sharp.
Right. The 89 started a 5-speed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so the technology that came along I don't think it's really advanced well in the past 30 years. You know, it's made things easier and nicer and easier.
Right.
And you're hands-on seeing this yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, there's guys that still farm with tractors that are built in the 60s.
Wow.
And they still... do a fine job farming.
Just as good as this new equipment, right?
To a certain point.
Okay.
If you offset the cost, like the cost of new equipment versus how well it does versus an old piece of equipment, yeah, they're fine. The bottom line,
right?
They're still doing a good job.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But you did other things besides install. You physically fixed them.
Oh, yeah. That was like the...
Did field
ongoing
field
side gig. You know what I mean? Like, because nobody else did, you know, I mean.
Were you like the only one in that shop then? That
correct. Like, really? I was the guy that did that, plus other stuff. So, which was fun.
Are you growing ideas then in your head of like, ooh, how can I do this? Did the wheels start turning for your own business then yet?
Not so much like when I was doing that.
Okay.
You know, because that was, I never honestly thought I was going to leave there
and
start my own business. Yeah. I wasn't really in the plans. Yeah. I mean, no, like, but that was just a fun, to me, that was something other than getting my hands dirty.
Right.
It was important because nobody else could do it. Like, there's a thing called RTK, which is real-time kinematics, which is really, like, common now, but back then, it required satellites in the air plus a base station on the ground. So that base station on the ground always knew where it was. So you could farm sub-inch accuracy.
Mm.
So within an inch of where you always were.
Right.
This was back in the 90s.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, so the drive for the opportunities that agricultural gives in within improving technology is because a car costs $30,000 in the 90s. A tractor cost $150,000. So if it was another $7,000 to add on,
right?
This was a small percentage.
It was small, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so versus a vehicle, like the ag industry is always ahead in a lot of technology.
How about that?
Because a combine costs $900,000 right now.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of of wheat.
So with any
that is a lot of wheat. Better grow that winter wheat too.
Within that, it's really neat to. So they always were on the cutting edge of stuff because they had that ability built into their price point. So you could add stuff that was you wouldn't add in your car because you're trying to buy an inexpensive car, but with a tractor, it's already expensive.
But then you did all the everything else, just the regular maintenance, mechanical maintenance.
Yeah, a lot of engine overhauls, a lot of transmissions, a lot of powertrain work. Yeah, I did. So within the started when I was 17, came out of college, I was 20. By the time I was 24, like I was on the road full time.
You did
all the service work on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so.
Somebody break down in the field, you had to go. And
yeah, for about 11 months out of the year, I was in a truck.
Wow. So in Ohio, would you all over the Midwest then?
No,
or just in Ohio?
Locally in Ohio, within 40 minutes.
So you're back home every night then?
Back home every night.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no issue. Yeah, that was because we only ran one guy in a truck. Now, during busy seasons, we'd run three or four guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, it just all depended. But, like, I was the only guy that ran it full time.
Yeah.
Okay. How many calls would you do a day? That's just interesting.
All depends. Like, you know, it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes three, sometimes six, sometimes one. I always had a lawn chair and a fishing pole in my truck.
Nice.
You know,
just
in case. During deer season, I always had a shotgun with me.
Nice.
You never know.
You never know. Like, I always enjoyed what I did. And I caught guff from some of the older mechanics because the way I approach stuff and my joy in life.
It's that younger generation, though.
Yeah.
At that time, yeah.
You know, and like, and it was difficult and sometimes because I'm good at what I do. And right. I always was. Like, I always had an knack for what I did.
We took pride in it.
Yep.
And I did. I took really good pride in it. I mean, when I was first started working, I was in the wash bay. You know, I mean, I washed tractors up. I cleaned tractors up. I mean, I went through the ranks.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a really, really, really good boss at the time. And he pushed me. And he gave me opportunities that I probably should have never took. Like, I think he would trying to watch this. You know, I'm going to send Brad out and see if he can do this, you know?
Do you think that kind of bothered the older guys in the shop that this new kid was coming in and he was skilled? And
I don't think it bothered him from the skill end. It bothered me. My love of my enjoyment I took in just doing my everyday job, Right. Because they've been doing it for so long and they were burnt out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And nothing against them. They were great guys. Like, sure. I learned so much from the crew that I started with. So much. And they were great guys, you know, but there was times where it just, you could tell that, yeah, I mean, that I was a pain.
Yeah.
Pain in the Beep. Butt. Right. Sorry, Jess. I tried. but, like, it was fun. It was always a joy to do. I always enjoyed what I did, 100%.
But isn't, and that's really, I think, for a lot of people, can't always say that.
Right.
You know, that you can say that you've always loved what you've done and you've enjoyed it and you can make a living at it.
Yep.
I mean, I think there would be a lot of people that wish they could say that in their lifetime. So it's a huge thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that have a job that they're there for a lifetime.
And they're putting their
time
in.
But they're never satisfied. They're never happy. They're never
Or they just get stuck living in the real world. They're like, you know, this, I'm fine, 9 to 5. They lose their ambition. I mean, you're talking 100%. About confidence you're building over time.
Yeah.
And you got these guys who are just stuck. Yep. And like you said, they're still good guys, but they're struggling because they didn't have any motivation to keep moving.
Yeah, and you know, like, there's a generation gap with some of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I pushed the envelope on what I should make, you know, what responsibilities I want to take on. Like, I would take on any responsibility that was out there.
Right.
You know, give me a challenge, I'll do it, you know, because it made me more valuable. Always made me more valuable.
Oh, yeah.
You
know?
And when you're from 25 to 35, like, you're pretty well skilled at what you do, and you're still go. So you should make a lot of money in them years.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people get stuck with, I put my time in. You, it sounds like, has that extra drive, and you're like, yeah, I'm putting my time in now so I can build on.
Right.
And that's where it seems like you've done.
Oh, and it was all, like, so if you look over in Europe, like, back when, like, they'd have a, not an internship, what'd they call it? There was a master and there was a...
Apprenticeship.
Yeah. So, like, apprentice did, like, 10-year apprenticeship.
Right.
And then you had your own business.
Yeah.
You know, then you went on, you did your own blacksmith, right? You know, this is old stuff, you know.
Right.
But, I mean...
So you were hoping to get up higher in that company.
Correct. I did not ever intend on leaving, really.
Right.
Like, my intention was to be in that company and be good at that company and you know...
Because you were devoted to it.
I was.
I mean, you
I grew up there. Previous to that... I mean, I've only ever had one job in my life before I started my business.
Really?
I mean, I worked several jobs through high school, you know, at dairy farms and hog farms. And But, like, yeah, I only ever had one job.
Yeah.
So I might have missed this because I was doing a little bit of research on some stuff I want to touch on here really quick. But was there, like, one defining moment that you thought, I can't do this anymore. I need to go out on my own?
You wanted to fire... your boss.
What was that?
So, there was 100%. But it didn't tell me to go out on my own. It told me to move on. Mm-hmm. So the last year I worked at this dealership. So it's a good dealership, and I still do business with them and no issues at all. You know, I don't hold any qualms against how things went. But so the last year I was there, they got, you know, they always want to keep track of. It always seemed to me like at the end of the year, they want to give you a reason not to give a raise. So they keep track of all your hours and how good you are with your job and this and that. And they got, so this dealership, when I was there, it started with 3 dealerships. By the time I left, I think they had 12. Wow. So it grew a lot while I was there. So some things got lost in the shuffle, and I don't blame them. That's how it goes when you grow a company, and then the little stuff kind of, you know, the guys on the bottom side kind of get lost. And so the last year I was there, they want to keep track of everything, you know. So the last year I was there, you know, your normal working year is 2,080 hours. And we worked a lot of overtime. So say 2,200 or 2,300 hours. Of all them hours, only 6 of them didn't get billed out. So my efficiency rate was 99.9. And their goals were 94. Okay.
Oh.
So, like, my efficiency rate was off the charts. Yeah. So I went in my year-end review, and... the first thing they said, which is normal in the ag industry, well, it's tough. Your farmers' crops are, you know.
Yeah.
Started off with almost the reason why we're going to do what we're going to do.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I said that, you know, that has nothing to do with me. I've done my job, you know. So, but yeah, I left there 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later.
I remember, I do remember that moment when, I don't know if you were at mom and dad's, and you were telling them what was going on.
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah, like everybody thought I'd be there forever. I was already there 12 years. I was 30 years old. You know, yeah. I mean, I was good at what I do, you know, but like, so this was 16 years ago. I was only making $18.95 an hour.
Right. Yeah, but 16 years ago, when that's not bad.
It's not bad, but if you're in your 12th year of being a senior technician, you know what I mean? Like,
true.
I should be grabbing high-end money, yeah. You know? So,
and you were married at this time, had
oh, yeah.
started
had all
your
four
family.
Kids. Right. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, you're trying to grab as much money as you can.
And then, Jesse, you were a registered nurse at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, she was an RN at that time, you know, so she was making probably better money than me. You know, she always made better than money than I did.
she likes
still
to keep,
does, I think.
Keep that over there. Yeah.
You know, but like,
and you guys had kids already. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah, we had kids starting at 23. I was 23. You were 22.
And you're just starting out your business then, right?
No.
You're. I'm sorry. I was trying to catch up. Like, yeah. You're in it already.
When we had kids?
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah. Like, how old were your kids when you really started on your own?
So I started my own when I was 30. So the kids were 5, 6, 7, 8. 7, 8, 9, 10.
4, 5, 3, 2. 3, 4, 5,
and 6.
Okay. So you made that. So when you guys, you had to talk this out.
Right.
That was the point.
Yeah, I was trying to make it back.
So I didn't leave Canix and start my business. Sorry. Right. I don't know what Canix is. I didn't leave.
That's our cousin.
A certain dealership and start my business. You know, like, so I left there and I welded for a company. So I welded.
I do remember that. You were a maintenance welder.
Yeah, we welded in factories. And I did that for a year. And in the meantime, I started working on stuff a little bit. And then a year after I started, things kind of got slim there. And there was four of us. And they were all cut down 4 days a week. And I'm like, you know what? I can just go home. I got plenty of work. I'll go home. You guys stay busy. I'll come back, you know, right. When things are better. You know, I never came back. I just kept working. You know, I kept working at home, which worked out very well. You know, so it was a nice transition.
So it was kind of like a sideline jobs that you were pulling in.
Correct. You know, I mean, I was doing, yeah. So I worked 7 years on the road, so every farmer knew me. So once they knew I left,
right,
they just called me personally.
So you had that clientele already.
Yeah. It was great because I made a list, like when we started, like people I think I should call. I never called anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But did that kind of, you didn't want to cross that line though either with the other company.
And I've always been very respectful of you know, the people that taught me, and I have a lot of respect for that company. You know, I did. I learned a lot from them, and I don't steal business from them. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's all free will. You know, I mean, it's the way it works.
Right. Right.
Well, I think a lot of times too, how to steal business is your work ethic, your personality. It seems like you know, like all the professionalism that goes into it is how you could gain those people's trust. I mean, you're there for 12 years. I'm sure by the fourth, fifth year, they're like, this kid's sticking around.
Yeah.
So let's get to know him a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I think there's more than just stealing customers, I'm sure.
Correct.
There is, you know what?
Like
I know this.
Well,
there's loyal to you. Yeah. Right. They're loyal to you. You're loyal to them. There's that relationship.
No matter where
that
you go.
You develop.
And you know, like, you know, I'm busy. My schedule's full right now. But here's a guy you can call.
Right. And it's funny. And so with the ag industry, like farmers are this.
Oh, a tight knit.
Yeah.
It's a family.
Yeah. It's a family. Yeah.
And so I've actually had, over the years, I've had customers of mine call me and say, hey, this guy wants your number. Like every once in a while, I don't pay his bills though. Do you want me to give it to him? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, they look out for me.
Right.
And I'm like, just give it to him. I'll be the judge of it. You will go from there. You know, I mean, I want to gather his business no matter what.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's been with working for him through a dealership for 12 years and getting to know people. And yeah, it was a very seamless move.
So you were kind of working like welding 4 days a week. But then after that, you were working. Yeah.
I was working 40 on the welding job and 40 at home.
Okay. Mm. And so then I think now we're at this point for where you decide, I don't want to jump ahead, but now we're at the point where you say, okay, I'm ready to be my own boss.
Yes. Yep. So with that thought, we're going to wrap this episode up.
Okay.
Oh, man.
No.
I know. Yeah. It goes quick.
Yeah.
You and, got a whole list of notes here.
I know,
Stephanie.
I do.
I'm worried about
I know. It's going to get good.
So we're
we'll
gonna,
prepare a little bit for that.
So
next
that's a little
one.
Bit. That's a little bit of Brad's background, and I probably knew about 90% of it.
Well, sure, so, yeah, I didn't. Sure, know. Yeah. I didn't either. Yeah. I didn't know.
Although we were out, we were not together for 20 years.
Correct.
But yeah. It's like we never even left.
It is. I mean, yeah. Honestly, like, because we really don't hang out that much.
We don't. We don't hang out now. We didn't hang
I
out
don't
then.
Care to
so
know your business now. You can't renew business. So yeah, man, that's what brothers are for.
That's right. That's right. Well, join us in the next episode where we'll get into the starting of the business and all the different things that had to be made, the decisions, and even where you come up with this name at. You know, where did he come up with this powerful name?
Right.
That
super complicated.
I'd say it probably took hours, yeah. I would think.
You know, like we tried all kinds of stuff.
I'm sure.
Steph, you got some teasers.
I tried Key.
All right. Well, this is Greg Steinke, and thanks for joining us, along with my wife, Dina, Andy, and Stephanie, and then my brother, Brad.
Bye.
See you
guys. See you next time.
And then also my sister-in-law, Jessie, who is mic-less tonight. But she is...
you tried to give her a mic and ask her questions. Yeah.
I tried. But thanks for joining us. Join us on our next episode as we continue with my brother, Brad, and his business.